I really acknowledge the fact that they carry a sense of wisdom and heart in God that's absolutely beautiful. So I'm going to ask Ali to come up and she's going to kick us off. So put your hands together for Ali as she comes and shares. I just love Ali's sensitivity to the Spirit. And, you know, we have opportunity to pray together as part of our prayer ministry a couple of times a week. And I just acknowledge her ability to be sensitive to what the Lord is saying. And for us to hear that is really special. So she always speaks a word in season. And it's always
season.
Yeah. But it's always season too. It's always very beautiful to receive. So thank you, and I look forward to what you're going to share.
Thanks, Brookie. Well, Brookie asked me to share, and I thought, oh, I haven't done that for, I don't think ever. And I thought, so what I'll do is get up and just talk about how I feel about our Heavenly Father. And I would just read you the verses that He has given me through the years I've had so far, and how that those verses have held me and shaped me. So it's basically going to be a wander through while I chew over things with you, if that's okay. And so, firstly, in my cranial matter, you know, I hear the Lord's Prayer and it says, Our Father. It's Our Father. And it's also Our Father. And so we are His family and we come from His family because He is our Father. He's everybody who loves the Lord's Father, but He's our Father. So He's ours and He's a Father. And so then I think about that and I think about it and say, right, then how should I live? Because we have to carry the badges of the Father. The Father family sets the atmosphere of the family, sets the ethos of the family. So what are the badges then we therefore carry? And sometimes we carry them whether we like it or not, because they are our Father. He is our Father and they are the badges we carry. So what are the qualities of God that we need to carry? And some of those qualities are love. God so loved that He gave. And He gave His only Son. He didn't just give, just like chuck it out there and see how you catch it, because I can't catch anything, so I wouldn't have got anything. Hey, in phys ed, I used to have to get reports every term. You know how you get them? And Alison's was, Alison cheerfully gives of her best. I think we should put that on my gravestone. Anyway, getting on. He loved so much that He gave, but He just didn't give anything. He didn't just give you fine weather. He gave His Son. And no one touches my sons without me wanting to scratch their eyes out. He loved us so much that He gave His Son, you know? And that's huge. And so we love, but we also give, and we give extravagantly. And over the years, there's been times when Anthony and I haven't had all that much, you know, as people would look on and go, ooh. But the Lord says to me, you do my business and I'll look after you. And so there's been times when I've gone, we were studying at Bible college and we were living on very, 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 very little money. And this lady came over to church from India and she needed money. There was a missionary thing going on and that. And I'll never forget it. And the Lord said to me, you know that money, your food money, she needs it. And I remember walking down the aisle because this is what I do because I'm your child. I live in your family. I'll do your business and you'll look after me. And we didn't go without food, but we gave that money. And the Lord looks at different things. He doesn't look at huge things. Oh, wow. He looks at the heart, and Jesus said that too when He saw that lady that had nothing and brought a dime. So God sees whatever you give, and we give extravagantly, whatever that looks like, because we give what He told us to give, and we forgive. That's another thing He does. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son so that He paid the price so that He could forgive us. What's with that? He loved, He gave, providing a way that He could forgive us. And, ooh. So there's a few badges that we carry as a family, and we forgive and we love and we give extravagantly and we live all of those extravagantly. And I could tell you a story about forgiveness, but I might not have time. I'll tell you that another day when we're having a chat over some food or something. So anyways, and His qualities of His family are not the same as our families that we see all around us and the world screams at us. And I think this is a really beautiful key, because if it goes against your grain to give your food money or something like that, we actually live for eternal qualities. We don't live for our next pergola or our new car or things that we need and we have to get to. I can't think of a clothes shop because I don't shop them, but, you know, label clothes. Actually, my niece really loves labels, and she showed me her jammies once when she was staying home. She said, "There's such and such and such and such." I said, "Oh, I wear label jammies too." And she went, "Do you, Arnie?" I said, "Suzanne's." Anyway, but it's not that. It's eternal values, and there's things for our Father. We live for eternity, and they're different. It's a completely different thing. So our badges of our family is that the world upside down. The world upside down says, he wronged you, you give it to him. And sometimes you do have to say something to somebody, but the Lord says, forgive. Or the world says, you're going to be successful. Your whole life is successful if you've done this or this or this. But most of us won't do this or this or this. And God didn't make us for being complete failures. You know, we live for eternal values. Okay. So that's the things that, you know, that the Lord said to me, you forgive because that's my value. You give, that's my value. That's the badges I have. But now I want to talk to you about my relationship with God the Father. I don't know how I'm going to get through some of this, but I'm just going to try and keep to the verses and see how we go. The first thing that I thought of about my Father is what an absolute honour it is that I can even stand and speak to him. And huge, he's huge. There's a verse that says, my own, and these verses were, he would have given me when I was going through something and I needed something. And he said, my own hand stretched out the heavens. I marshalled their starry hosts. That's who is God. It's not just God who... Killjoy, killjoy, killjoy. No, 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 no. He created the whole universe, you know. And so it's, sometimes I think it's a really, really helpful thing to go and imagine yourself, well, I do, sitting on a planet and have a good look around. And you look around and you go, you run this place, don't you, Lord? Yep, I do. Right. You own this place, don't you, Lord? I do. You made it all, didn't you? And it's huge. And it makes you realise, oh, my goodness, I'm not being held by some wuss. I'm being held by a ruler of the universe, the creator of the universe, the owner of the universe. It's massive. When I consider the stars and the heavens that you have made, what is man that you are mindful of him? What an honour that we can even get anywhere near him, you know? And I have a person in my life who one time in her life... she got to go and visit the Queen, literally. And I came away thinking, oh, she got to go, her lives are different, oh. You know, like that. But we get to talk to God. So, you know, there you go. Anyway. Yeah. And so when we look at his creation, you can sit there and say, he's my Father. And you can look at something little. Or you can look at something big. It's always very intricate, but it works beautifully together. And you go, I love your work. I love your work. And just create it and just appreciate it. So my Father is huge. That affects my relationship with him because I honour him. And I honour him when I sometimes don't want to. My Father loves me. And there's a verse I want, there's a few verses here that have a similar theme that have carried me. And these two ones that I'm just going to say now, or, yeah, a few, were in a time when something had hit me in my life and I actually didn't know how I was going to keep going. And he looked down and told me, I don't think I can do this. And these are the verses he gave me. I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Right. There is more here than me saying, I need this and this and this and you'll answer my prayers because that's how it works. It wasn't that. It was, I've carried you on eagle's wings because I want to bring you to myself. There's a different thing there. And so the prayer doesn't even have to be answered because, you know, this was to bring me to yourself. And that's a very safe place to be. It's a deeper value. And there's another one that he says to me. I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with loving kindness. It's again the picture of, I want to bring you to myself. I want to bring you here. It's eternity again. And there's hints of that drawing into the self, the prodigal son story. You know, the father was, I just wanted to see his son. Another thing my father does for me is that he carries me. And that's that verse again. I have carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. He carries me. And there's a lot of times when I'm in life and I think, help, I do not do this. I cannot do this. And I can't put on a front to do this. He said, I carry you. And it's very, very precious. He carries me to bring him to himself. And then carrying another one, it says, the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. The Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. And I love this verse. He carried you as a father carries his son. And that's a loving thing. It's not a, I'm going to get you and hit you over the head with a long stick. It's, I carry you as a father carries his son. When I was teaching in Beechworth, I taught this absolutely beautiful boy called Keegan Brown. And he was just a delightful child. And he loved the outdoors. And he just was a beautiful kid. And his parents were lovely people too. And they kept bees. And we went on an excursion to see their bees once, and Bill Baxter got stung. It wasn't my best excursion. But anyway, after a few years, Keegan was out in the yard with the bees, and the dad was with the bees. They're good people. And Keegan got stung, and he went into anaphylactic shock. And he'd been living with these bees for years, and nothing happened. And here's this anaphylactic shock. Now, the mother was out with a car. Often country town people have one car, and so she's out. And the father just scooped him up and ran. And he would have had to run to the little hospital, the little bush hospital, so he was lucky to get much there, I'm telling you. But it would have been a distance from about here to not quite Sutherland, but maybe that big turn-off that heads off to Bunnings. You know that turn-off? And he would have scooped him up in his arms. And that's the picture I get here. The Lord carried you as a father carries his son. He carried him. And Keegan was all right, by the way. And and then the last part of this is, all the way you went until you reached this place. And so I think when I was up the creek with this one, you know where I am. You know where I am. And this doesn't come as a surprise to you. And you're carrying me as a father carries his son. And so, because I'm thinking, but until you reach this place, he knew this place was coming and he was going to carry me like a son anyway. My father knows me. He's huge. He draws me. He carries me. And he knows me. This is a verse that I really love. Sorry. It comes from Isaiah 41, verse 9. I took you from the ends of the earth. From its farthest corners I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you and I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my powerful right hand. I know that verse because I have said it and said it and said it and said it to me. And I love it. I took you from the farthest ends of the earth, from its farthest corners I called you. I called you, I have chosen you, and I have not rejected you. And if you've ever been in a situation when you were fiercely rejected, this verse is a ripper because God chose you. It doesn't matter what other crap goes on in your life or whatever someone else serves up to you or someone turns their back and cheats you or does something to you. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Therefore, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I am with you. I will hold you and I will hold you with my powerful right hand. And that's a pretty big right hand because he made the heavens. It's pretty good. Yeah, it's intentional about pursuing me. And I'm not the deserted one. I think sometimes when something's hitting the fan in our life or if it's an ongoing thing that Just got to keep going. And that's the thing about the kingdom of God, the family of God. Keep going. Just keep going. And you might not see that anything happening. Just keep going. Keep going and believing that. And you're not the deserted one. You're not the deserted one. Never. You're never the deserted one. I mean, about that one too. I mean, Psalm 23, it's another beauty. When I pass through the valley where death has cast its shadow. That doesn't mean when I pass through the valley and die. Well, it does probably, but it means where something's been chucked at you and can take your life or rob you of life, because God is a life-giving God and he doesn't want life to be robbed from you. So when I go through the valley and something has been chucked at me and it's trying to steal my life, death has cast its shadow on me, I will not fear, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And then you prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. That stuff can still be there and you're still giving me a table in the midst of my enemies. It's such a good verse. Such a good verse. So, yes, and there's the one about, I fear not, for I have redeemed you, for I've called you by your name, you are mine. He knows your name. He knows where you are. When I left work, I used to have this group of friends we sat with at the back of the staff room meeting, and we'd sit in the back of stalls, and because you could observe the staff meeting and you could see what was going on, you could read the nuances that are happening in the room. It was quite, really quite good entertainment, really. And when I left, I knew the girls I used to sit with would still be up the back and they'd still be sitting there. And I used to message them, I know where you are. And they had to keep a straight face because they were in a staff meeting. So anyway, moving on. But he knows where you are. And he knows what you're in amongst. And he knows where you are. Yeah. Now, this verse has helped me many times when something has happened that I didn't expect or wouldn't have chosen. And I love it. And because it gives me perspective of looking forward away from what I'm in, but knowing that he'll be there at the end of the road as well. And I first actually learnt this verse when I'd become very, very ill and I wasn't getting better and no one really knew what was going wrong with me. And this verse the Lord gave me then. And then years later, Mum was telling me about when she was pregnant with me, and she said, I had a verse. Because everything was really bad in my pregnancy for Mum. And the Lord gave me a verse. I said, oh, what was the verse? It was this one. It was this puppy. So let me read it to you. Even in your old age and grey hairs, I am he. See, I see that and says, even in your old age and grey hairs, even if you don't think you're going to make it to old age and grey hairs, you're going to make it to old age and grey hairs, and I will be there. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. And this is the verse that Mum used to say to herself when she was pregnant with me. I have made, I will carry, and I will deliver. She said it every day because she had to do it every day. But there's actually words behind it, but I'll read it, the whole verse now, okay? Even in your old age and grey hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, I will carry you, I will sustain you, and I will deliver you. And it's so true, because it gives you hope to when you don't want to be in this class and the kids around you, you just feel like you're going to fail and la, 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 la. If you're in a situation you think, I didn't see this coming and I would never have chosen this, I am he who sustains you. I am he who sustains you, even in your old age and grey hairs. And it's hope for the future and hope for the now. Okay, next stage is he's always with me. I really, really appreciate the way the Lord, the owner of the universe, who has given so much already, will come to me and sit with me. And when something's ongoing, and it's actually quite frightening, the ongoing nature of it too, there's a verse that says, and you will call out to me and I will hear. you will cry out and I will quickly say, no, I will hear. You will cry out to me and I will quickly say, I am here. And that's the verse, it's so good. As you're stepping in to have tests done about something medical, or if you're, you know, and it's not, I mean, it's, he's just there. He's huge and he wants to be there with you. I am he, and I'll quickly say, I am here. So he's always with me. Another one that he's always with you in is even in your successes and your failures, your faults and your warts and your beauty, he's there with you anyway. Oh, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know everything about me. You know when I rise, you know when I fall, you know when I go out. You know the thoughts from afar. You know the what I'm going to say before they're even on my lips. That's pretty incredible for me, if you know me well, because I don't know what I'm talking about sometimes. But he does, and then it goes through, and if I go here, if I go there, you are there. If I go there, you are there. If I go to the deepest depths of the world, you are there, because darkness is as light to you. He is not affected by the crap. He is not going to be threatened by the crap. He is not going to be threatened by the darkness in which you find yourself, because darkness is as light to him. So he is a trustworthy, safe place to be. And so you can say, Lord, search my heart and know if there's any way that offends you and lead me in your eternal way of living. It's eternal things, giving, loving, forgiving. It's eternal things. Lead me in those things. So he's a kingdom of a father of a kingdom family. He's huge. He draws me. He carries me. He knows me. He helps me choose courage. He helps me choose positive vision. He helps me extravagantly give. He helps me in kindness. And he helps my life be marked by love.
Thanks, Ali. Classic. I love Anthony and Ali because they come from the country. So they're my people. Hey, Pete, come up. Pete's going to share a few thoughts with us. Give him a hand as he comes.
Pretty hard act to follow there, Ali. I don't have the gift of the gab like that. Justin's got a bit of a slideshow. I just got to... When Brooke said to me, do you want to have a chat about this stuff? I thought... why not? And then I said, righto, God, what am I going to do? So I've essentially got a random collection of perspectives about God the Father. So, yeah, random musings. Probably not. Yeah, I don't actually believe in random, you know, like stuff happens for a reason, I reckon, most of the times. But, okay, next page. I got 55 slides, by the way. This is like one of the CEO's presentations at work. Yeah. The first thing that came to me, thanks God, was the idea of the Father's huge perspective. I feel like, certainly for myself, and I'd imagine it's the same for a lot of people, at times we just don't understand what's going on or why it's going on. And, you know, God's perspective is that, you know, about his creation is that it's all beautiful and everyone fits. And, you know, how many days do we have in a week or a month or a year where that just doesn't seem true or doesn't make sense to us? It's like we're one of those little tiny planets or stars or whatever right on the edge of the Milky Way there. And, you know, if you're cold and dark and lonely, you're probably missing the big picture that God's not missing, you know. God understands the whole... how it all fits together. And I think the way to kind of get a handle on that is actually spend time with God. And, you know, go to the Gospels. Jesus, you know, shows everyone how to do that. It's pretty, actually not that complicated. So there's one idea about the huge perspective of God and how we need to tap into that. Thanks, Justin. Here's another idea for you, recognising God's touches in your life, you know, his fatherly touches. And I'm like everyone, in fact, maybe even better than some of you, but I've definitely got 20/20 hindsight. I definitely don't have 20/20 foresight, that's for sure. But, you know, and when I spend time thinking about where I'm at in life and the way things that have happened in my life are just so incredible that, you know, it definitely can't be random. And I just thought I'd take you through a couple here. So I was supernatural tilts. Who's my age or around that? And, you know, when you played a pinball machine, before they put in devices to stop this, if the ball wasn't going where you wanted to, you just gave it a really hard whack or use your hip and bump into it to kind of fix up the game a bit. But I feel like God does these tilts in our lives, you know, quite often, and some of them are quite disturbing, actually. But, you know, so that's what I mean by the supernatural tilts in our lives. But, I've spoken here years ago, you know, my father loved me, but he didn't really know how to do that. He was part of a long line of, you know, intergenerational just trouble. And I'm hoping that the intention is that I'm the last line of that. I'm kind of bring some change to that sequence. But so my dad didn't really know how to love me, but I'm sure he did. But I've looking back, I've had so many great father figures that have come into my life. And when I was a lot younger than now, I somehow or other ended up working in the radio industry in technology, which was, you know, a dream come true for me. Like, I mean, yeah, I made my luck, but you know, there was a real God thing in that, you know, that supernatural father helping me get there. And at one stage, I was chief engineer at this radio station in Adelaide, SAFM, very successful, in fact, the most successful FM station in Australia at that stage. And that guy on the left there, Vinny, the old-looking guy with the glasses, John Vincent, he's very extremely famous guy in Adelaide. He passed away a few years ago. But, you know, he owned the airwaves in Adelaide on the breakfast show on SAFM. When I became chief engineer, I was a bit nervy about these announcer types. You know, some of them are pretty heavy duty. There's, what's his name? Ronnie Sparks, you know, here in Sydney. Definitely the worst announcer I've ever worked with in my life. Extremely explosive guy. But Vinny, you know, took me aside one day because he could see I wasn't kind of, you know, dealing with some of the announcers. So he comes up to me, he goes, "Listen, here's how it works. So I'll call you bloody technician and you just call me, you know, bastard disc jockey. And that's how we can relate to each other." And, and he goes, "So what do you say?" "Oh, okay." So we actually got on like, you know, a house on fire after that. And looking back, you know, he didn't have to do that, but he really reached out. And that's a great example. And I've since learnt that, you know, his children love him. He was an incredible father. You might recognise that guy on the right, actually, in the first photo there, young Adam Hills, who went on to do greater things. But Adam was a fantastic guy to work with as well. The next guy there, Daisy, David Daisy's real name. Daisy did mornings, so kind of 9 to lunch. And he was a very famous guy as well. Pretty heavy-hitting dude. Lived life very hard. Personal mates with Jimmy Barnes, actually. And you people my age would know Barnesy lived it pretty hard as well. It's amazing he's still with us. And anyway, Daisy's not with us now, but Daisy was another guy who, when I became chief engineer there, Daisy didn't like the way I did it. He said, "You know, the previous guy, Steve-O, this is what he'd do." And I just, God just kind of gave me this courage and I said, "Well, listen, Daisy, I'm not Steve-O and I'm doing it differently and you can get used to it." And we ended up getting along famously as well. There's great mutual respect there. And, you know, a great fatherly thing. So we've got two daughters, Siobhan and Camille. Of course, when they were both young, they're close enough in age. For Christmas, we'd 80% of the gifts would be from Santa. It'd be the same stuff because that's how you avoid fights, right? And I'm telling Daisy this about what we've got for the girls for Christmas. And he goes, yeah, but Pete, what are you going to do when they turn 16 and 18? You can't get the same car for them. Very wise stuff. But, yeah. And then just not long after that, so I was in this long-distance relationship with Corrie over there. This is way before we thought about getting married or anything crazy like that. And, you know, I think Corrie lived on Kangaroo Island when I lived in Melbourne. Then Corrie moved to Katherine and I was kind of travelling all over Australia at that stage, working in Brisbane and Sydney and Melbourne and Perth and wherever there was, you know, radio action, I was there. And anyway, amazingly, this opportunity came up. The company I worked for, Austereo, we bought a quarter share of this to be new FM station in Darwin. Like, who'd want to go to Darwin, right? And by this stage, Corrie's living in Katherine. So, funnily enough, I ended up becoming chief engineer of Hot 100 in Darwin and built the radio station because it was only 317 k's from Katherine. So we could see each other on weekends. As long as you didn't mind a three-hour drive in, you know, tropical rain. It was a record wet year that year. It was an absolute shocker. But, you know, just looking back, there's so many amazing, you know, random things that have happened in my life. And I think if you all spent time, you know, reflecting on it, you'd see there's heaps of fatherly touches coming to you. And that's just a really important thing to appreciate. Next. Oh, here's a crazy guy. So I was thinking about Albert Einstein. You know, he was quite famously... I actually looked up really what he actually wrote because, you know, he's known as saying that God didn't play with dice. But there he is. I'm at all events convinced that he does not play dice. So that's in 1926. And then in 54, which is not long before he actually passed away, he said, I like this, if God created the world, his primary concern was certainly not to make it understanding easy for us. And now I'm not sure I agree with that, but it's you know, my point is, if Albert couldn't get his mind around it, then it's okay for us at times, you know, not to understand what's going on. That's why you need that big picture thing back on the first slide. Yeah. But you know, go to the Gospels, as I said before. You know, Matthew there about where he writes, Jesus saying, which of you, if your son asks for a bread, will give him a stone? And brackets, I love Jesus, the simplifier, you know. My Bible at home's got the concordance notes and stuff. You could use it for a doorstop or to attack a robber with it. And but it's you know, it's really complicated. If you try and understand every word on every page, it's a big task. So, you know, I love Jesus the simplifier. Thanks to the Father for sending him. But you know, what I get out of this, none of you would, you know, give your child or your friend or your relative, you know, the thing that they haven't asked for. And so I think everyone here does understand some perspective about God through about, you know, the way we love, the way God loves and the way we can love people as well. And then the last thing I've got here, which always blows me away, that about my father's house has many rooms. And, you know, there's a room at this house. It's a whopping big house because there's a room for each of us. And there's, you know, he knows us all extremely well, right, every person on the planet. So that's just amazing. And I think when we, particularly the fathers in our lives, sometimes we don't understand them, but they've more often than not, they've got that big perspective and they're, you know, behaving the way they are or loving the way they are for a reason that, you know, we may not have understood at this time, but at some stage we will. And I think that was the last one. Yeah. Thanks, Justin. And that's it.
Love you, Pete. Well done. I feel like there's been a really lovely, you know, chat about just the size of God and getting his perspective and seeing things from where he sits. And sometimes we can find ourselves in our world rather than sitting for a moment in his world. So much our life is surrounded around what's going on for me, what's going on, and sort of the things that we experience on a daily basis. But how do we get to a point in our life where we make a decision to have a heavenly perspective and to sort of stand in that place? So I just wanted to do one final thing before we close today. I was really encouraged by the God of comfort. And, you know, it says in Philippians that we should not be anxious for anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present our requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The antidote for our anxiousness is prayer and petition and thanksgiving. And I love the fact that when people are going through things, there is a sense that you see that the peace of God that comes into their life in that time is absolutely amazing. I love the idea, and we often talk about that, when Jesus was with his disciples and the storm came, they had to wake him up because he was asleep. Now, you imagine that for a moment, that Jesus is asleep in a storm. And I love that picture. We share that picture often, that this is the position or the posture of our heart, is that no matter what we're going through, the Father is actually asleep in our boat. Why? Because he's not anxious for anything. He's at peace. And he gets up out of the boat and he tells the storm to stop, and it stops. And we have authority to tell our storm to stop, and it stops. And so I just wanted to share one last video. Tanya put this together. Some of you know Laura. She's going through cancer at the moment, a beautiful member of our church, and she just wanted to share a few thoughts that she wrote down, and we just put them on a little movie. So just have a read. She's awesome. Whenever you talk to her, she's always just having a sense. You just sense that God is strong in her life, and it's a beautiful thing. I was just reading this, which I wanted to share with you, just in reflection of that. When we think about this word in Philippians 4, verse 7, it says, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard our hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So there's a peace that God offers which transcends all understanding. And I was looking at this word, and the word is hupereko. And the word hupa literally means over, above, and beyond. It depicts something that is way beyond measure. It carries the idea of superiority, something that is utmost, paramount, foremost, first rate, first class, top notch, greater, higher, and better than, superior to, preeminent, dominant, and incomparable to, incomparable, more than a match for, unsurpassed, and unequaled. There is a peace that comes from God that is absolutely amazing. It transcends our understanding. It's first class peace. And I just want to encourage us today, as we think about this, that God, the peace that God offers us in our life, the presence of God that He offers, this shalom peace, and we understand, you know, this whole word shalom. I love this word because it does encourage us. It's so much more than peace. It's complete peace. It's a feeling of contentment and completeness and wholeness and well-being and harmony. There's a sense that the peace that God is just not a quick fix. It's a whole body experience. It's that wonderful peace, and it's peace in the storm. And so I just want to encourage us that this is a posture that we carry, and as Laura confessed, in our time of trouble or turmoil, that the turmoil that we sometimes face needs to stay on the outside and not get on the inside, because what belongs on the inside is the peace of God. What belongs on the inside is His shalom peace. And we're all searching for this because people are searching for peace in our world. You know, we're looking for peace beyond our understanding. And in fact, the promise here is that He gives us peace in spite of our understanding. So we need to let go of our need to understand and receive peace, receive His shalom. So He invites us into this place of peace, this paramount peace, this top-notch peace, this better than superior peace, this first-class peace. So I just want to pray that as we go. As we think about the hugeness of God, we also can talk about His presence, which is with us, which we talked about today. And what comes with His presence is, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. I love that picture of the dad picking up the son and running to the hospital, and he holds him near. And I bet you that moment that even though the trouble was around him, that son would have felt so secure in the arms of the Father. And that's what it's about. We rest in the arms of the Father, and He gives us superior peace, top notch, top branded, Ali, best branded peace that we can put on. So let's all stand up. I'm just going to close in prayer. We're going to worship together. Now I just want to, let's just have some ministry too here. I'm not sure where you're at, but maybe I feel like there's a sense that God wants to impart His shalom peace in your life. I feel like that you know, there are people and things going on in our lives where we just need Him more than anything else. And so I just want to encourage you, let's just reach out to Him. Let's pray. Let's say yes to Jesus. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to manifest the peace of God in our life. If you're unwell at the moment, if you're sick, you know, we want to pray for Laura. If you're unwell at the moment, we want to pray for you as well. So if you're, you know, got something going on in your life right now that you'd like someone to pray for you, then just tap the person next to you and just say, "Can you lay hands on me? I'm gonna pray." So Jesus, we invite You and welcome You into this place. We thank You, God, that the peace that You give us is first class. It's not temporary. It's not something that is of this world, but it's something of the eternal world, of the kingdom. It's a culture of the family of God, as Ali said. There's a peace that comes. And so, Lord, we pray that we'd receive your peace, that we would be anxious for nothing. We declare, Lord, that we will be anxious for nothing, and that we will pray, and that we will petition you, and we will thank you, God, for your presence. We will thank you for your hugeness, your capacity to make and to create everything in our life. And we thank you for that. Thank you that we're not alone. Thank you, Lord, that you're with us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're for us and not against us. Thank you that we're your sons and daughters, your beloved, who you appreciate and love and gave yourself for. We just love that, and we thank you for it. So, Lord, we ask for your peace that transcends. We ask for your peace that transcends right now in Jesus' name. And I declare peace over Laura right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for her, and we declare your healing power over her, every part of her being. Lord, we pray from the top of her head to the tip of her toes that she would experience your power and your healing. Lord, we declare the blood of Jesus over her, that she would be healed in Jesus' name. We pray for others amongst us, Lord. Lord, where they're feeling defeat, or they're feeling, Lord, a sense of overwhelm, Lord, I pray and bless them with peace. I bless them with healing in the name of Jesus. We declare your healing over this place today, that everybody, that every child, that everyone who's here, Lord, would experience your power of healing today in Jesus' name. Heal our minds. It says there in that scripture, Lord, that you would guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, Lord. And we pray and declare, Lord, that our hearts would be healed in Jesus' name. Lord, that our hearts would not be troubled, that we declare peace over our hearts and stillness in our hearts in Jesus' name. And our minds, Lord, we pray against depression. We pray against those who are tormented in their minds, Lord, that don't really recognize, or they've been told that they aren't who you say they are. And Lord, we pray and declare that you are the Lord and you are King, and you see us as your beloved sons and daughters, and you love us, and we're cherished by you, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So heal our minds, heal our hearts, impart peace, impart shalom, which transcends all understanding. We ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said,